Let the church say amen. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord one more time. From last week to this week, a lot of things have happened, but we are just glad to be here. First, giving all praises to God, who is the head of my life, to the pastor of this great church, to the officers, and to all those under the sound of my voice. We thank you for another opportunity, and we thank you, Shiloh, for all that you have done. Before we, at the conclusion of the service, we're going to have someone come with a message of gratitude, and we're going to have a presentation. Usually when I get up to preach, I say that singing is good and we love it, and the praying, we come for the prayers and the praise dancing, but usually the word hasn't been preached. Today. Never stood up before after the word was already preached. I felt like going back and taking my robe off and coming back for the benediction. We have been blessed by all that we have done from when we came in and you greeted us with the breakfast, and then we were able to go out and partake of Washington, D.C., and that trip out there, and we saw some wonderful things. And then on yesterday, part of our group went in one direction, part went in another direction. The men, we went with the pastor over to the prayer breakfast fellowship in Red Bank, and we had a wonderful time there. And we've been blessed by this choir. Now in Red Bank, they didn't have the whole choir. They had a three-part trio with Scotty on the organ, and they had Brother Ritter and Brother Herb and Deacon Hood. And it took me back when I saw the three of them up there singing. Instead of the shy lights, we had the tri lights. Amen. Some people are my age and over. Amen. Under 30, you didn't get that one. Amen. We want to thank the choir, Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church Choir, and everyone from Holy Light. We want everyone from Holy Light to stand. 27 of us came out. Amen. A labor of love. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We just thank you. We come out because we love this man of God, and we came out first for him, but now we love you. Amen. We thank God for the fellowship between these two churches, and we stand now at the point of the message time, number two. And so we were blessed. So don't worry, this is all part of my message. We were blessed to get the letter from you this year. We had never got a letter from Shiloh, but Tuesday I came in the office. It was Bible study. I saw the letter from Shiloh, and I read the letter and greeting us and welcoming us, and there was a special part of the letter. And those that haven't seen the letter, I was glad to see the letter. I said, I want this letter read in Sunday service, because you know we all got a little ego. Yeah, everybody got a little ego in here. And so they had a part in the letter about the vibrant and forceful pastor from Holy Light. Could have knocked me over with a feather. I was on cloud 9. Read it at 8. I was like, trying to be humble. But then 11 o'clock came. And the announcing clerk, Sister Hamilton, was getting ready to read the letter. And I knew Sister Hamilton was going to read it with such strength. Announcing clerk, I knew it was in good hands. I'm a godfather to her daughter, and I knew she was going to read it. And I sat there, and I got ready, and she was started reading the letter, and she went through all the other parts about the other pastors, but I said, it's coming up. It's about to get to me now. That vibrant and forceful part. And she got to reading it, the vibrant and forceful, and she just started laughing. My ego was shot. God will humble you in so many ways. Took me down a peg, took me way down here to down here. I said, I got to do a little bit better. Next year, when the letter comes, I'm praying that she won't laugh. Hey, amen. We like to have a little fun. And we know that we are here in this season that we're in, this holy season, and this is the day that we call Palm Sunday. And we want to recognize that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And I have another message today, and I'm not going to preach on Palm Sunday, but we all need to recognize what it represents. Is that last week of Jesus' life, and they were saying, hail him. And less than a week later, it went from hail him to nail him. And so we look back at what Jesus did for us. And so we have I have a message this morning, all that are able to stand. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. The 11th verse, I'm going to begin at the 11th verse. This scripture, this 11th verse may be familiar. Amen. Jeremiah, the prophet says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And then finally, the 14th verse says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I cause you to be carried away captive. We're going to use as a subject for these scriptures this morning, good news from rock bottom. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we come now. We thank you again for another opportunity. We thank you that you have allowed us to come over 3,000 miles. Over to this way. We ask now that I may decrease, though that you might increase. May your word be taken in, and not only heard, but taken into the heart and used in a sin-sick world. In the name of Jesus, we do always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. We came 27 strong this year, and on last Sunday, my wife would have been here today. She was scheduled to make the trip, but on last Sunday, I was in the pulpit, and this shows how life sometimes becomes reality. And as I left the pulpit, I got a text to get to Gardena Memorial Hospital as quickly as possible. And a few minutes from being in the pulpit, I was in the emergency ward of the hospitals with the doctors doing CPR, and we were praying and we were talking and doing all that we could. And so reality came that I had to go out a few minutes later and tell my wife that her mother was gone, and my sister-in-law. So sometimes we preach, but sometimes we got to do what we preach, and reality of life. So pray for her. Mother Mary Willis is passed on, but she lived a life in the Word of God. And as we funeralize her next week, we just thank God that she was in the Lord. Amen. This scripture is a scripture focusing on verse number 11, is a scripture that is used in many ways. It's used, you'll see it on graduation cards, you'll see it on plaques, you'll see it in various ways, because it is very positive. As you read it, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That sounds positive. And Deacon Weber, I want to thank Deacon Weber, my good friend, for that introduction. But and he was right. He said, I came up under the teaching, all the other teaching I got, but I came up under the teaching of Pastor Richmond Brown. And one of the things that Pastor Brown would say in reading the Word of God is, don't stop at one scripture. Don't just read one scripture, because you could take something from one scripture and be totally wrong with it. You'll take all the positive, but there's something behind the scripture. And so Pastor Brown would say, you need to read before the scripture and you need to read after the scripture. And so you taking this text at verse 11, I didn't take you all the way back, but I'm going to have to take you back to get an understanding of what the scripture represents. And so here we have a scripture, and I talked about rock bottom, and you might say, well, what's rock bottom? Well, all of you have a rock bottom. There's some place in your life where you have been, and it has been the lowest part of your life. That's why I mean to say that all of us have a rock bottom. Now, some of our rock bottoms might be a little better than others, but we've all had a rock bottom. We might have lost a loved one, and that might have been our rock bottom. We might have had financial difficulties, and that was our rock bottom. But here in this scripture, in the 29th chapter, It talks about being captive. See, something happened here when people come to you and say, I've got good news and I got bad news. Now, I'm the kind of person that I want to get the bad news out of the way first and then get the good news, rather than getting the good news and the bad news following it. So Jeremiah in this scripture had some good news, but he had some bad news. And Jeremiah, being the prophet that he was, Jeremiah was called a lot of things as a prophet. He was called by some the reluctant prophet. He said, I'm just a child. And God told him to you're going to go on because I am the one that's in control. Don't worry about being young. Some people called him the weeping prophet. Go to chapter 9 and you'll see, because he had to come before the people with some bad news sometimes. And when you come with bad news, he had a love for the people and he would cry. So he's a weeping prophet, he's a reluctant prophet. He's also called the lonely prophet. Well, why is he called a lonely prophet? Well, in the scriptures, he was forbidden to marry and have children. And so that's a get to be a lonely experience when you got to deal with the people and you don't have no one to come home to and lie on the pillow and tell them all the problems that you had. So he had to have a close connection with God, because there wasn't nobody to go home to and tell what the day had been like. But Jeremiah, in this scripture, we deal with the people of Israel, and they're in a situation in which there is some bad news. There's some bad news here, people. There's some bad news before you get to the part about, I know the thoughts I think toward you, and they're of peace and not of evil. You had to go through something. Some of us have been through some things. Some of us have had to go through some things. Some people will take this scripture and they will use it for prosperity gospel. Oh, just name it and claim it. And then when it doesn't come, it was because you lacked the faith for it to come. It didn't have anything to do with God. You didn't have the faith to claim the prosperity gospel becomes sometimes an economic gospel. You're going to be rich. The Powerball is going to come in. That's not what this scripture is saying. Because some of us don't need to hit the Powerball. Be a long time before you get back to church if you hit the Powerball. And heaven help tithing off the Powerball. Amen. So here we have in these scriptures, the people of Israel have went into captivity in Babylon. They went into captivity, and captivity is not good news. But yet I have a subject that says good news from rock bottom. And so when we read this text about prosperity, there's a word called shalom. You're probably familiar with that word, shalom. And shalom means peace, but it means some other things. It means like a gathering. It means that there is a relationship. In shalom, there's peace, there's well-being, there's fulfillment, there's happiness, there's satisfaction in that word shalom. And that's the word that comes out when you translate that word shalom. So the word from Jeremiah is there is still a relationship no matter what is happening. And let me just take you through the scriptures real quick. The Israelites, you know how they were. They went through ups and downs. And so at this point, they are at the point where they are in slavery in Babylon. They have disobeyed God time after time after time. And you know how it is. You only get put up with somebody for so long. And so now it had come to the point in which they were in captivity, and God had a word for them in their captivity. He had a word for them that they were going to have to go through some things in Babylon. They were going to have to experience some things in Babylon. And if you go to the verses 4 through 6 of that 29th chapter, God said, basically to them, make the best of things. The scripture, let's just read what the scripture says. The scripture says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. You are going to be in slavery for a while. You're going to be, it's not going to be all milk and honey. You got to go through some things. You put yourself in this position. Many of you know growing up, you got whooped sometimes, right? I know that's not politically correct now, but I grew up through the area, and when I had to deal with a switch and a bell, and I didn't like either one of them. And the craziest thing is when you were getting hit, it was, my grandmother would say, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. And I said, that's the craziest thing that I ever heard. Even as a young child, I know that doesn't make no sense. But there was a corrective. There was a corrective part in that, because I had done wrong, and the belt and the switch meant I went a little too far. And then you had to get your own switch. That was really crazy too, but that's a whole nother message. Just crazy. Get your own weapon that's going to hit you. Correction. And in our society, corrective behavior is what we used to call the system of putting people in prison. They used to call it the penal system, the penalty system, but they changed it to the corrective system, right? And that's a good thing, but you have to have more into it than just words, because it should be corrective. When somebody goes in, there should be some things to correct their behavior. And here, that's all God is doing. God is correcting behavior. And so he said, now settle down. You're under other authority, but settle down. Continue to do the things that you have been doing. You're going to have to live here and make the best of the situation. Sometimes when we go through things, we got to make the best of the situation instead of complaining about everything. God, why did you put me here? God didn't put you there. We fall short sometimes, and sometimes we have to think back, what did I do? But the people of Israel had put themselves, but next they, in verse number 7, God says to them, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. I'm going to pray for the city in which they got me captive? Come on, God. I'm tied up in this city. I want to get back to Jerusalem. I want to get back to a home. And now I'm here, and now you're telling me that I got to pray for them. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city that you're in, to which I have carried you. Ask God to bless your surroundings. See, when we're in our situations, we need to realize we need to bless those that are in charge and in positions. I know you may not agree with the governor's position here, but you still need to pray for him. You may not agree with some of the people running for president, and I know it's hard sometimes, but you got to pray for them. And if America decides to do something that's a little crazy, really start praying. Sometimes it says silly season. Are we really in silly season? But God goes on a little further. He goes on into verse 8 and 9. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. See, we got a lot of prosperity gospel sounds good. It might fill up the pews, but it's not Bible. I just heard that a young man was doing the Reverend Armstrong. Reverend Armstrong said, the word, is it in the word of God? And so we find here that if you go back into chapter 28, there was a man by the name, a prophet, so-called prophet, by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah's prophecy was that you are only going to be in this for 2 years. You know, 2 years, we can do 2 years. 2 years is easy. 2 years sounds good. And then God went to Jeremiah and said, go and tell the people that he's prophesying incorrectly. That it's going to be longer than 2 years. You in a situation now that's going to take more than 2 years. Sometimes when we hit rock bottom, sometimes we there a little longer than what we want to be. Sometimes we might get so depressed about the situation that we're in, we seem like we can't get out of rock bottom. But here in this scripture, it says, don't listen to them that just going to tell you good news that's not true. There's preachers today that want to tell you just what you want to hear. And what you want to hear is not going to get you to the other side. You got to follow the word of God. As Deacon Weber said, I came up under Pastor Brown. Pastor Brown said, read the Bible for yourself. It's good to listen to the preacher, but when the preacher goes astray, you should be able to say, I know that that's not the word of God. That just don't sound right. I don't recall reading that in the word of God, so you need to know for yourself. Because there's some Hananiahs out there. There's some Hananiahs out there that will tell you anything and try to make it sound good. But now verse number 10. I ain't going to be up here much longer. Verse number 10 is really where God really brings it all in and brings it all together. He says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, let's read that again. After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. I can imagine when that part of the, I told you it was the bad, and there was some bad news. That's bad news. 70 years. I imagine they were there and they said, what happened to the 1 year plan? The 2 year plan? What about the 5 year plan? 70 years? Sometimes God's got to put something on us to bring us back to him. He only going to put up, as a parent, you only put up with something for so long. And then you got to do some corrective behavior. Now, for some of you today, it may not be spanking. It may be some other. I watched on the TV when we were coming here. It was a Steve Harvey program, and they were talking about the new school parents and the old school parents. And I was loving them new school parents. I was like, that sounds good. No spanking? I raised my hand for that. But I didn't know then what would be good for me now. That little spanking that I got though, and getting hit with the switch, I understood right from wrong. So however you do it, as long as you and make it in the child so the child understands right from wrong. And so here, It took 70 years, and God had given them the 2-year plan and the 5-year plan and the 10. No, you need 70 years. And you can imagine what the people thought. The people thought, like, some of them in their 70s and 80s said, we're not going to be here. We're not going to experience the getting out of Babylon. So there were many that were never going to get out of Babylon. They was going to die in captivity. But God still said, press on. Press on. Whatever your situation is, press on. And why press on? Because verse number 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. If you want to get to that end, sometimes that end of prosperity is not going to get down here on earth. But there is a place called heaven. A place in which if you just be obedient, that's all God wants. He just wants us to be obedient. He don't want us to stray and not do what he says or do what he says sometime and not do it the next time. He wants obedience. It was going to take 70 years of correction. And I know it sounds hard as we read this, but God knows exactly what he's doing. And so I'm telling you today, if you are in your rock bottom, if you are there, don't worry. God is still has a plan for you. God is still thinking about you. For those that have come out of their rock bottom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that God will deliver you from whatever your situation is. God will take you out of rock bottom and bring you back to where you need to be. God has taken us from so many places. I look down at the pastor and he took the pastor here from a rock bottom. It got to be rock bottom sometime in South Central Los Angeles. But God will take you from a rock bottom and years later he'll put you as a pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church. God will take you from your rock bottoms. God will take you from your situation. You ever had been in a situation where you were on drugs or a family member was on drugs and they got out of that situation? He took you out of rock bottom and brought you up to another place. God will take you from rock bottom. But now as I close, there's some good news. There's some good news because you might be saying that's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, that was good news for Jeremiah, but I need some good news. But see, God will give the prophets something to say to give us some good news. Just go a little further in Jeremiah and go to the 31st chapter. In the 31st verse, it says, behold the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make the house of Israel. And after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. See, we're in the season that we call Holy Week, the new covenant. I'm just grateful for the new covenant. I'm grateful that our God looked down on us and over 2,000 years ago, he looked down and he made his only begotten son to come down in the flesh and dwell among us. I'm glad for the new covenant. I'm not glad for what happened with Jeremiah, because Jeremiah said there's a new covenant to come. And when that new covenant comes, it's going to be something totally different. We won't have to bring sacrifices in the temple anymore, because Jesus came. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago and dwelt among us. Jesus came, and Bible says that he did miracles, that he fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
But he didn't just say that. He turned water into wine. He did many miracles. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, gave hearing to the deaf. But the story didn't end there, because they went and took my Savior. They took him and they raised him up on an old rugged cross. And they stretched his arms out wide. And they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. But the story didn't end there, because they took him to a place called Rock Bottom, because he died on that cross. And he went to a place called Rock Bottom. They put him in the grave. But the Bible says on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. So there is good news from Rock Bottom. Good news from Rock Bottom. I don't know what you're going through, but it ain't no more than what my Savior went through over 2,000 years ago. You can get up from your situations. You can get up from your problems. You can get up from all the confusion around you, because there's good news from Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom is a place that we don't want to go to, but everybody's been to Rock Bottom. Everybody's had a situation in which it didn't look like we were ever going to get out. But I know on the third day morning, Jesus got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Good news. Good news from Rock Bottom. We come this morning. We open the doors of the church on this Sunday morning in Trenton, New Jersey, at the Shiloh Baptist Church. If there be someone that came this way that's going through some things, might be having some rock bottom situations, there is a man. Put your hands in that man's hands and things will change in your life. Put your hands in the hand of the man that stilled the water. Put your hands in the man, hand of the man that calmed the sea. I know that his hands are unchanging hands. If there be one today that doesn't know the Jesus, that he's there knocking it, all you got to do is just enter. He comes knocking at the door, but all you have to do is just enter. If there be one today, good news. Matt, is there another?